And he said, "Dad, we've never had the problems with our microphones." And they packed them up every night and slammed them around and did all kind of things with them. Amen. And he said, "The fact is, the lead singer for The Who, he's got tape all around his, and he swings it around and right, throws it up in the air." Amen. It comes down, and sometimes he misses, and it hits the floor, but it just keeps on working. We baby our mics and take good care of them, and we have all the problems. But then we're preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. So we expect some problems, but we'll get them fixed, and the Lord will bless us tonight. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn back with me to the book of Psalms once again. Psalm 89. We're going to read what we actually read this morning. Psalm 89, 86, 87. Hallelujah. And verse 15. In my Bible, it's page 859. Of course, if we all had the same Bible, you could turn to it. The book of Psalms, about the middle of the book, you'll find the book of Psalms. Listen to this in verse 15. "Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. In thy name they shall rejoice all the day, and in thy righteousness shall they be exalted." Psalm 89, verse 15 and 16. Blessed are the people who know the joyful sound. Now, we talked this morning about all the feasts that Israel had that involved the blowing of the trumpets and involved the singing of the high praises of God. Amen? And these people knew how to respond to God for all the blessings that he had given them. They had a heart to praise God. And God honored it when they did it with all of their heart. How did David dance before the Lord? How did he express his praise unto God? Was it reserved? Was it tentative? Or was it full out? Full out. I'm glad you got that tonight. Amen. How did he do it? What was requisite? What kind of praise? See, God is great, and he's to be praised to the level of his greatness. Amen. God is great, the scripture said, and he's how to be praised? Greatly to be praised. Hallelujah. I'm not talking about just emotionalism. I'm talking about the real, genuine joy that comes when you're right with God and you're part of his covenant people and his blessings and favor are resting upon you, and you know that no matter what happens, if God is for you, who can be against you? Can you say amen? Well, I can see the joy just bursting out all over tonight. Just try to hold it down to a minimum until at least I get some teaching done, and then you can shout all you want. Is that a good deal tonight? Amen. Listen, people have got away from the cross so far and from Calvary so far, amen, that we don't appreciate how terrible it is to be lost tonight. Amen. That's why we can't appreciate just being saved. We want to just be saved and look for something else. Honey, just being saved is the apex, the ultimate, the paramount. There's nothing greater than being saved tonight. Nothing God will ever do for you from the time you were saved compares with what he did for you when he saved you. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I'm going to say something under God's anointing prophetically to you tonight. There will never be a true, lasting, spirit driven revival, Holy Spirit driven revival in America until the Church of Jesus Christ in America gets excited again about what Jesus did for us on the cross and quit looking for something new and different to stimulate us. Can you say amen? What he's done at Calvary ought to be enough to praise him not only throughout your life here, but to praise him there throughout all eternity. Every song that's going to be sung in heaven is to extol him that shed his blood for us on the cross. Hallelujah. And people that just get saved, filled with the first love and appreciation for what he did on the cross, they're the greatest witnesses for God that there are out there anywhere, because they're still excited about what Jesus did for them. I've been saved since I was 21, going on 22. And here I am, 63. I'm still excited about being saved. I get up in the morning thanking God for my salvation. I go through the day, amen, like a cocked gun. I don't mean just a gun. I mean a gun with the hammer pulled back, with a hair trigger. Can you say amen? Being willing to tell anybody that will listen excitedly about what God has done for me and what he's able to do for them if they would just open their life to him. Can you say amen? I said I'm 63. You can do the math from 21 to 63. Amen. It's been a long time since I knelt at an altar and received Jesus as my Savior. But I am excited about being saved tonight. What turns you on in church? Does anything turn you on in church? Can you say amen? You know what turns me on? When somebody mentions Jesus from a heart of praise and adoration and love, and they tell me more and more about Jesus. Can you say amen? Philip went down to Samaria and preached prosperity unto them. No, honey, that didn't bring the revival in Samaria. Philip went down to Samaria and just preached healing and deliverance unto them. No, it happened down there, but that's not what he preached to that caused it to happen. Can you say amen? Philip went down to Samaria and he preached Christ unto them. Amen. And the sick were healed and demons were cast out and many came to know Christ as their Savior. And the Bible said there was great joy in that city. Everybody say great joy. Blessed are the people who know the joyful sound. Psalm 89 and verse 15. Blessed are the people who know what it's like to see God really move. Hallelujah. And know the joy of Jesus and still have the joy of their salvation. And hear people that will talk about it, preach about it, sing about it. Hallelujah. Blessed are the people. Happy to be envied are the people who know the joyful sound. You see, it was to remind them, all of those feasts were to remind them where the trumpets were blown, that they were in covenant with a delivering God, and that God had delivered them from Egypt, and that God delivered them from their enemies. Amen. And they couldn't tell him enough how grateful they were for what he had done for them. The psalmist David said, "What shall I render to God for all his benefits unto me?" Can we sensitize it a little if it won't mess it up? And I'll have some voice for the radio broadcast. Hallelujah. Amen. What do you render to God? What am I going to render to God? Can you say amen? I beseech you by the mercies of God that you offer your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your what? Reasonable service or your true spiritual worship. Everybody say true spiritual worship. True spiritual worship is not when all the singers, because they have practiced it. Did you know when you, and there's nothing wrong with this. Don't get me wrong. I'm just saying it's got to get deeper than this. There's nothing wrong with going to a church. Some churches run 2,000, 5,000. They've got dance teams and the praise teams and people who bring banners down the aisle to try to get the people to kind of, you know, enter in. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's kind of exciting when you're praising God and all of a sudden, amen, some people begin to get out and do an interpretive dance. The Bible said praise him in the dance. It's biblical to do that. Can you say amen? But if you're just watching them like you watch a performance, that's not your true spiritual worship. And if they're just dancing because they practiced it, that's not true spiritual worship. Can you say amen? It's not what we do physically, amen, in a service. It's what we do spiritually in our heart in a service. And the Bible said if you don't make a commitment of devotion to the Lord, it's all phony baloney. Can you say amen? Offer your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto the Lord. This is your true spiritual worship. How many has ever been where there's a great choir, a great praise team, and you just felt good? It was uplifting. It has to get deeper than that. It's not just about feeling good. That's for you. What's in it for God? Can you say amen? If the service is just designed to make us feel good, what's in it for God? What does God get out of a church service? There's one fly in the ointment of Pentecostalism. Since I'm Pentecostal, I can criticize without being mean our own system. And that is that most people go to church to get a blessing. Make no mistake about it, I expect to be blessed when I come to God's house. Amen. Because in his presence there's fullness of joy. At his right hand there's pleasure forevermore. But believe me, I do not just come here to be blessed alone. I come here to bless the Lord. David said, "Bless the Lord, Everybody say, bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me. And what is the constant stimulus for blessing God's name and blessing Him? Amen. And forget not all of His benefits. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Consistently remember all the benefits and blessing of being a person in covenant with Almighty God. Hallelujah. And bless His name continually. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And how much is within you? Now see, that all right there betrayed some of us. That was, some of us said all, and some of us just said all. You're just following my lead, darling. Can you say amen? That was a poor all. Amen. Is that all you got left in your life? Who got the best part of it? What got the best part of it? What got your excitement last week? What got your enthusiasm last week? Amen. Was it a television broadcast and you got so excited? Amen. Was it something you did, something you did in life that you got so excited about? Amen. What? Do you ever get excited? Let me ask that. How many's ever been excited in your life? How many, if you won $1 million tonight, would you be excited about it? Lord, everybody that's not going to be excited, just send it over to my house. If you can't appreciate it, you shouldn't. Have you ever seen those people that win $1 million or win the lottery, 3 or 4 million or 20 million, and they interview them? And here's this geezer that says, you know, I got retirement and I got Social Security and I got a nice home. We've already been to the Grand Canyon. Oh, I don't think my life is going to change much. I thought, he don't deserve that. I deserve it. I know what to do with it. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. My life would change. Would your life change at all? Would you, if they put the camera on you, would you say, whee! Would you do anything? I know you would. I know you would. I know it's in there. Praise God. I've known you long enough. I can just see Kim right now. Amen. We'd have to pray for her. Hallelujah. That's over something that's going to pass, that'll buy things, that's going to rust. Can you say, man? What we've got is eternal. So what does it take to excite Christians today? What does it take to get the church excited today? What does it take? What does it take for God to hear the joyful sounds, amen, of praise and victory and appreciation and love flowing from the hearts of His people? Can you say, man? What does He need to do? What are we waiting for Him to do? Amen. How can you top, amen, taking on flesh, coming to this earth, living a sinless life, and dying a sinner's death so that we can have life eternal? What more does God need to do to hear the joyful sound from His people? Can you say amen? How many are washed in that blood tonight? Praise God. Hallelujah. I want you to know God wants you to get excited about that. Hallelujah. If you get excited, maybe somebody will listen to your testimony. I wish Margaret, what's her name now? Her last? Janung. I wish Margaret Janung was here. I'd pick on her tonight because she gets excited over yard sales. She used to get up at 6 o'clock in the morning for a yard sale. Amen. And she would go to these nice areas she read in the paper. And she said, years ago, I don't know where she remembers it, but she said that she would get them out of bed over in the nice areas and thought they might have had nice stuff. 6 o'clock in the morning, they're announcing a yard sale at that address. They're figuring on getting up about 7:30 or 8 and putting it out in the yard so that by 9, people can come. Who's knocking on their door at 6 in the morning? Wanting to see the stuff they got in their garage? She's excited. Why is she excited? Because that was her passion. I don't know what it is now, but I knew what it was then. Listen, people can be excited. People can become passionate. There are people passionate about fishing. They'll set their clock for 4 a.m. because they want to get out on the lake by 5:30. So the minute the fish want to have breakfast, they already ready to catch them. Can you say amen? They go out in the boat in the dark. I got up one morning to go fishing. My stepdad, and I fish for men. I don't have time to do anything else now. I fish for men. I tell you, I don't have any tackle. But I went out with my stepdad. We got up before daylight. We were in the boat. In the dark. We started out into the lake in the dark. I'm sitting back there and drinking coffee, trying to keep my eyes open. We're headed out wide open to get way out in the lake where he said the fish school and they're bedding and we can catch a bunch of them. We're headed out and the dawn begins to break. And he's so anxious to get out there. He's got that motor just revved wide open. And the cold, cool, it was in near the winter. And the cold was hitting me. And I'm sitting there like this and saying, it ain't worth it. It ain't worth it. It ain't worth it. Can you say amen? But he's a fisherman. And to a fisherman, it doesn't matter about the cold. It doesn't matter about getting up before daylight. It was his passion. Can you say amen? And what he was passionate about, all this other stuff. Listen, real fishermen, the cold don't bother them. Amen. If my mother wanted him to go rake the yard, he would say, it's too cold. I'll wait till the sun comes out. He sure ain't getting up before daylight to start raking no yard. Can you say amen? But fishing, that's a whole different thing because he sure do love to fish. I remember going out on Lake Okeechobee before daylight. And I remember he decided to go through this area with reeds near the bank to get on out there somewhere. Anyway, I remember going through that area and we saw ducks all over the place. We saw about 8 or 10 or 12 ducks just sitting on the water. And I thought he's going to hit them ducks. He's going to run right over them ducks. He didn't care about no ducks. He's looking for fish. See, he's not a hunter. Can you say, man, hunters don't care about ducks. Fishermen don't care about ducks. Hunters care about ducks. Hunters don't care about fish. They care about the ducks. And I thought, he's going to run right over them ducks. And sure enough, we got right up on them. I said, fly, ducks, fly. Amen. The ducks didn't fly. You know why they didn't fly? They didn't fly because they couldn't fly. You know why they couldn't fly? Because they were decoys that hunters put out to get other ducks to come in. And I looked over my shoulder, and there was two guys sitting in a boat back in the reeds with camo on, with big old pump shotguns, watching us mess up their duck hunt. And I thought, whatever you do, don't stop now. Pour it on it. Keep going. And when we come back, let's do not come back this way. Amen. We ruined their entire duck trap. Can you say, man? Saved a lot of ducks. But didn't catch too many fish that way. Passion. That's passion. I've told you this 100 times, but I would go to get both my boys up to go to school when they were young, way, way back yonder. When they were young, now I'm a great-granddaddy. It's been a long time ago since I've tried to rouse two boys out of bed for school. Amen. And I'd have to go. I have literally grabbed them by the ankles and pulled them, throw the covers off of them. Amen. Pull them out. And, oh, Daddy, I don't want to go. I'm tired. And you've got to go to school. Come on, get up. Get up. Time is wasting. And finally, we get through getting up every morning and all the pastoral stuff and their stuff and all the other stuff in life. Saturday comes, and I thought, there's one thing I don't have to do. One thing I don't have to do today. On Sunday, I got to get up early. We're going to have an early morning Sunday school and church. And I was going to teach and preach and study Saturday night. But listen, Saturday morning, I can sleep in. They can sleep in. Saturday morning, we can just sleep in. Hallelujah. I can't wait for Saturday for us to all sleep in. And at about 7 a.m. on Saturday morning, you know what I heard? Da 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 da. And then my oldest son, and my stomach is not ready at 7 in the morning for strange smells. My oldest son loved canned smoked oysters. If you open them bad boys up and put them in a microwave to heat them, that smell permeates the whole. Yeah, it's ooh, even if it's not early in the morning. Can you say, man? And I'd wake up and come stumbling out and say, what in the world are you doing up? And there's Matthew, little old Matthew. He's sitting there before the television set. My son and my youngest son, my oldest son, they're going to watch cartoons and eat smoked oysters at 7 a.m. You've got to have a belly of brass to do that. And I said, what are y'all doing up? It's Saturday. And they said, but Daddy, Daddy, it's cartoon day. They didn't want to miss one cartoon because Saturday back in the day was the day the cartoons were on. And you get up early, you get to, and the only reason I didn't whoop them is because when I was young, amen, I used to get up on Saturday morning. There was one station. You're surprised there was TV. I know, but there was TV. But there was only one television station. And it was on a UHF channel. And you put a big old converter box on top of your little TV. Amen. And you tune it in to channel 38. And it would broadcast from the what we used to call the Million Dollar Pier down in Pinellas County. One station, UHF. But on Saturday morning, amen, Cartoon Carnival come on. And I got up and I didn't set my clock. That inward clock woke me up. And I remember sitting in the floor looking at that television. And they had a test pattern that they put on to make sure everything's working right before the programming for the day started. And I sat for an hour and a half and stared at the test pattern, amen, waiting for cartoons to start. And I thought, boys, I know exactly how you feel. I've been there and I've done that. Can you say amen? But I'm going to tell you something. I learned some lessons about passion. What people are passionate about, they're going to do. Amen. What they're passionate about, they're going to find time for. What your passion is, you're going to find the energy for. Kids, come over here. You're in the school system. Kids come over here from other countries or their parents from other countries, and they teach them the value of an education. They get passionate to learn. They want to learn. Amen. They're holding teachers' feet to the fire to teach a bunch of kids that don't care if they learn or not. Amen. And listen to me. You get kids that want to learn, you don't have to work very hard to teach them. Can you say amen? They're going to hit the books. They're going to do their homework. And there's going to be a bunch more Patels out there in the medical profession. Can you say amen? Can you say amen? Why are there so many of these people out there? Because they said, we're not going to just sit here and watch cartoons. We want to learn. We want to take advantage of the opportunity that's here in America. And they do. And they become the X-ray technicians and the medical professionals. Can you say amen? What you have a passion for. Paul had a passion to preach the gospel. The early church had a passion for Jesus Christ. They couldn't help but spread the gospel. They didn't need to be stimulated by anything the church could come up with. The church didn't have to come up with anything to stimulate them to give or to live for Jesus Christ. And because of their devotion, others came to know him. Can you say amen? You can tell people all day long, but if they see your passion, amen, you become a living epistle. And people read us. They know what you're passionate about. I know one of Doug's passions. If he had the money, Tampa Electric would have to have brownouts. Or who serves you out there in Land O'Lakes? Oh, with the Lacoochie couldn't handle this. This is big stuff. They would have to buy power from Tampa Electric. Doug has a passion. I guess he had no lights growing up, evidently. And he make up for it, and we all get to enjoy it every year. Amen. We say, where are you going for Christmas? We're going over to Doug's house. Hallelujah. Praise God. If he had the money, ain't it the truth? And I'm not criticizing. I'm just telling you about passion. Amen. He works like a dog out there. He climbs up in trees. Amen. He puts lights where I would be afraid to even venture to go. Amen. But he's up there putting lights up. And he comes up with ideas. And one of the things he would love to do is just keep on and on and on and on until this thing is the grandest thing that there is, because he loves to celebrate. And there's nothing wrong with that. I think Christians ought to celebrate. Praise God. I think we ought to out-celebrate the world at Christmas and Thanksgiving. Praise God. And Easter. Woo! Hallelujah! Passion will drive you. Young black man in Africa had a passion to bring, listen, not for himself, but to bring honor to his nation. And he decided, I'm going to be the fastest man on 2 feet. I'm going to run the mile faster than any man has ever run the mile. He got up every morning. If he had the sniffles, he ran. If he had a cold, he ran. If it was raining, he ran. Amen. If his legs was hurting, he ran. He just got up every morning, and he had this hill that was really steep, and he ran up that hill every day of his life. His philosophy was, if I can run uphill and get fast running uphill, what's going to happen when they turn me loose on flat ground? Can you say, man? He went to the Olympics representing his particular area of Africa. I forget his name, but at the time, and they might have broke his record many times since, but I'll tell you something. Nobody broke his record that didn't have a passion to win. Because without the passion to win, you simply won't have the devotion. And if you don't have the devotion, you're not going to have the discipline. And if you don't have the discipline, you're going to be sleeping in instead of running that hill. You ever see the Rocky movies? Anybody see any of the Rocky movies? I saw the last one. Boy, he was getting old. And I thought, am I as old as Rocky? But the thing that drove the Rocky movies was passion. By the way, this young black man became, in that day that he was at the Olympics, at that time, he became the fastest man in the world. The fastest man on 2 feet, because he got up every morning, he ran up that mountain. Now, honey, I'm going to tell you something. Amen. If you're going to excel at anything, you're going to have to get a passion for it. And if you're going to follow Jesus in this generation, you need a passion for him. Amen. Because there's so many other things going to come and get in the way of following him and serving him. Amen. And the joy is going to be gone. The enthusiasm is going to be gone. We're going to serve him rhythmically, robotically, ritualistically, but not factually and actually from the heart. And God is calling people that will love him enough that we don't love ourselves as much as we love him, so that we can deny ourselves in order to take up our cross and truly become a follower of Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? They love not their life unto the death. And that's why we have the gospel. It's not just because he died on the cross. It's because of all the people who died in every generation, so that we could have it intact in our generation. If there's people coming to Christ, if they come to Jesus in Afghanistan, it'll be people like those people that were willing to risk and, if necessary, lay down their life for the gospel. Church in America is not working with devoted Christians. So we have to find a way to entertain, stimulate, try our best to get them to respond. And in so doing, we lower the standard. People don't love their life. Not love their life unto the death. They love their life. And you better gratify me at church. And don't you ever in a message mention suffering or sacrifice. Hello? But the Bible said all those that live godly will suffer persecution. And the Bible said that God can use that to get you stabilized in your walk with him, get you truly devoted. Paul said, after you have suffered for a while, that's going through it, and God's saying, I'm not going to take you out of that furnace for a while. After you have suffered for a while, he will strengthen and establish you. Can you say amen? He will establish, strengthen, and settle you. Isn't that incredible? What happens when you're established in the faith? You're strengthened, because tribulation worketh patience, and patience worketh experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed. You're established, you're strengthened, and you're settled. You become a pillar in the church. Can you say amen? You're one of those people that inspire others just because of your devotion and your consistency. When I first became a Christian, I'm so glad I was in a church that there were some pillars in the, I don't mean pillows. Can you say, man, I know I'm from Kentucky and I know a lot of people call them pillars, but I'm talking about the those things that hold the building up, support the, you know, God said in the book of Revelation, if we overcome this old world and the flesh and the devil, he will make us a pillar in the house of his God. Can you say, man, we're not there to support it, but we're there as a fixed fixture, amen, eternally. As eternal as God's house is, that's how we're going to be. You know what's out front? They call, they're little, but they're pillars. People are looking to become a pillow, looking for a pillow instead of a pillar. Listen to me. Amen. God wants to make us strengthened, established, and settled. When I first got saved, I am so blessed to look around and see people that loved God. Amen. That served God. That didn't have to be patted on the back. That didn't have to be stimulated with something other than the cross of Jesus Christ. That knew they were saved and knew what it cost Jesus. Amen. To save them. And they loved him back for loving them that much. And they couldn't wait to get in God's house. They couldn't wait to sing his praises. They couldn't wait to pray with people down at the altar. Amen. You didn't have to do anything to keep them interested. They found Jesus, the passion of their heart. And if you're going to magnify Jesus, they were going to be there to holler amen and join you and sing with you and pray with you. Hallelujah. They had a passion for prayer. When I got saved, I would come in on Sunday morning and get there early, but people had beat me there, and there was two rooms up front, and the men would be in one room praying out to God for the service and for souls. The ladies would be crying out to God in another room. I loved to go and open that door and bow with these men of God that were calling the name upon the name of Jesus for people to be saved, for the anointing to flow in that place, for God to show up and God to move. We had some powerful services, and we had some powerful conversions. Praise God. Hallelujah. When you've got a passion for the Lord, you don't have to use other things to stimulate people. Can you say, man, the cross does it. Paul said, the love of Christ constrains or compels me to serve him. That's what we're talking about. That's why that joyful sound was so great. They said, we love our God. When they were right with him and he was blessing them, David said, I love the Lord. I'm passionate. I love him because he's heard my prayer. I love him because he's heard my cry. I love him. I don't just need him, want him to meet my needs. I love him. Can you say, man? And I appreciate him. What shall I render to God for all his benefits unto me? Amen. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And how much? That's how passion talks, isn't it? All that is within me. Bless his holy name. Praise God. And forget not what? His benefits. Where's the cross in our life? What does it mean? I mean, we all agree it should be the centerpiece. But what does it mean? Does it still evoke passion for Christ? What does evoke passion in us? Is there any passion? Have you ever gotten mad? Really mad? That's passion. He got mad at Sean's boss. Hey, this guy right here, when he gets passionate about something, don't let him fool you. Don't let this quiet, demure looking, don't let him fool you. There are things that makes him passionate. Can you say amen? And Ruth said she was already passionate. And they're going to go down there together and call him out. Ask forgiveness. Sometimes it's easier to get forgiveness than it is permission. Can you say amen? I mean, what they're doing to Sean is wrong, and they need to be called out. Amen? I think I could take his boss, and I've never seen him. And I'm 63 years old, but I'm passionate. Praise God. It's a woman. I know I could take her. Well, I don't know anymore. I've seen some pretty tough eggs out there. She might know karate, jiu-jitsu. Maybe she is jiu-jitsu. Amen? I'm going to tell you something, church. You get passionate. There are boxers that are passionate. You know who's going to lose the fight? You know who's going to lose the fight? The guy that's been fighting so long and winning so often that he feels, I don't have to train like I used to. Amen. He don't have the eye of the tiger anymore. Can you say amen? Because he's been living the high life off that big money. But there's a young man out there somewhere, amen, that his whole dream, amen, of getting out of poverty and getting out of the ghetto mentality is winning a prize fight. And there's somebody down there in a gym every single day, and he's got a vision. Can you say amen? He can see himself jacking that guy's jaw and knocking him down and knocking him out. Can you say amen? He's jumping rope. He's up at daylight. He's running down the road. Amen. Everybody else is just trying to get that last 30 minutes of sleep so they can eat that big old grits and bacon and sausage, go down to Denny's and get the big one. You know, the big artery clogging one down there. Can you say, man, the big grits and bacon and sausage and pancakes and syrup and butter. Can you say, man, hallelujah, amen, and jam and whipped cream and blueberries. You know what he's doing? He's running down that road. He's going to eat him a high-protein breakfast. He's going to eat a high-protein lunch. He's going to keep everything under control because he wants to win. And one of these days, he's going to work up those ranks. And one of these days, somebody you never heard of is going to step into the ring. Praise God, with passion in his heart. Amen. That passion has created the devotion that has brought forth the discipline necessary to be better trained, to be better conditioned, and to want it more. Amen. Amen, to want to take it away from that guy more than he wants to keep it. Can you say amen? Even if he wants to keep it, he can't keep it if he's not passionate, if the passion goes. What creates passion in the Christian life? If the cross don't do it, it'll never happen. If you get excited about Jesus because you got a blessing one Sunday, and you think that's going to be enough fuel for me to run this race with, you're wrong. You're going to find yourself out of gas in a week or two. All of the same problems are going to hit you. The pressures are going to hit you. And if you don't get beyond just the emotional lift that you get. See, we're not talking about being lifted. We're talking about digging deeper. Digging deeper. One thing I discovered in my Christian experience with the first love burning, that there was a lot of people way more experienced in the faith and way older than me and had walked with God way longer than me, but they didn't love him like I did. They could tell me more scripture. They knew more scripture, but they didn't love him like I did. They just didn't love him like I did. They could sit through a service no matter what. I'd be over there crying. I'd be over there. I needed these. We didn't have these things sitting around. I was kind of like the guy that didn't have a handkerchief and a napkin, but his nose was running, and he didn't know what to do about it. I want Doug to see this because I don't want him to miss it. He said, you see that guy over there and that guy over there? They both have stripes down their pants. See, you won't remember nothing else I said, but you'll remember that. I found myself in that. I used to just honk that way and honk that way. And Sherry's saying, see, it's a man thing. You wouldn't understand. Kim would understand, but you wouldn't understand. Kim's done it 1,000 times at least. I can't believe I did that with Ditter sitting right there. Amen. Ditter's very jealous right now that I'm picking on you. What is our passion? I'm not putting a trip on anybody. I'm saying there should be something in your life that you get passionate about. Amen. I'll tell you one thing. She's passionate about that little girl when she was born. Supposed to not have any kids, and along comes this beautiful, beautiful little girl. I could see Sherry just beaming. Wow. Boy, that's that. Wow. Don't you mess with that little girl. You want to see passion? Can you say, man, there'll be some passion over there. There's a guy in Walmart, and I thought it's a good thing it wasn't Sherry. Can you say, man, it's a good thing it wasn't Sherry? This was on the news about 3 weeks ago. There was a guy in Walmart, some old geezer. He's probably my age. I hate to say that about him. But some old geezer in there. He heard a baby crying over in the next aisle. Not a baby, some kid. You know how kids just tear off and scream, those blood-curdling screams. And you just say, somebody ought to stop, you know. But anyway, he decided, he took it on himself as a rank stranger. Not a parent or a friend of the parent. He walked over into that aisle and smacked that baby in the face. Not that baby, but that child. In a child sitting in a buggy, and this old geezer goes over and slaps him in the face. It was on CNN News. They called the cops and took him to jail. I thought if it was Sherry's little girl, they wouldn't call the cops to take him to jail. They would not be calling the popo. She'd be like Medea. They'd be calling an ambulance. Can you say amen? Am I right? That's right. And she's a Christian. Just think if she wasn't a Christian, they'd have to call the morgue. Passion. Passion produces devotion. Devotion, discipline. Discipline, victory. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Paul said, because I love him so much, because I'm passionate about Jesus, I buffet my body. I bring it into subjection. If you let your flesh rule, you're not going far with God. Can you say amen? Because you or me, we're not going to have the devotion necessarily to develop the discipline. And without the discipline, everything falls apart. That's why Paul said, I don't fight as one that beateth the air. Everybody's talking about whipping the devil. Honey, the best way to whip the devil is to crucify the flesh. Because every man, without exception, James said, without exception, every man is tempted when he's led away of his own lust, his own passions, his own desires, and enticed. Lust, when it's conceived, brings forth sin. And sin, when it's finished, brings forth death. Can you say amen? So God is telling us, no man that warreth. And believe me, if you don't believe we're in a battle, you just let up. This whole culture, this whole world under Satan's influence is against God and His Christ and His kingdom. You don't have to decide and make a conscious decision to backslide to find yourself backsliding. All you have to do, listen, I used to go to the Hillsborough River. We would go way down from the swimming area. We'd take some old log. I didn't even think about alligators back then. We'd take an old log and throw it in about a mile down that upstream. Because when we would ride that log all the way down to the swimming area and just ride it all the way down, we didn't have to do nothing to go with the flow. The current took us. Can you say amen? But I'm going to tell you something. If we had went against that current, it would have took every bit of our strength, every bit of our energy, and all of our commitment to go against that flow. Let me tell you something about Christians in this culture. You've got to make a commitment, amen, to go against the flow. Because if you go, I'm not just talking about the flow in the world, because now the world has got into the church. Can you say amen? Come on, the world's in the church. What it takes to get us to church proves that the world is in the church. We want to be entertained, or it's not worth our time or energy. And the church has got out, amen, of the preaching of the cross and got into the entertainment business. People don't come together in some of the concerts to worship God because nothing is holy enough there to stimulate worship. They come to be entertained. That's why they're wearing spandex up on the stage while supposedly singing about Jesus. Looking like the world, wanting the applause of the people, wanting the young people to say, ooh, ah, that's what I want to be like. What happened to wanting to be like Him? Can you say amen? And we fit in with the crowd. We just fit in. I worked with some guys in their 20s that found a church here in Tampa that had a whole lot of stuff to entertain them, hip-hop, gospel, and everything that you could possibly. And I'm not saying in and of itself, I'm saying they would go to this church that they told me they loved. And then they would, I would hear them talking among themselves in the locker room about their conquest. Meeting somebody, what club are you? On Friday, Sunday they're going to church, but Friday, or Saturday night they might go to that whatever the church is having. They'll count them as Christians. They'll count heads out there. But I work with them. On Friday, they're talking about what club are you going to tonight in Ybor City. I'll meet you there. You can't go to the club in Ybor City and carry the cross on Sunday. And then they talked about their conquest. That means somebody they met and had a one-night stand with. It's a cheap grace. It requires no passion for Christ, therefore no devotion to Him, and therefore no discipline. So the flesh, amen, is stimulated to sin and continues to sin while there's a cheap grace preached and a gospel of a God that doesn't require anything but us just to acknowledge Him and go live in sin. That is not the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is not the God of your Bible. And I had to watch that. And I could feel God rising up inside of me with holy indignation. And wherever they were going to church, they had to ask me what was sin and what wasn't. And they didn't like the answers I gave them from the Word of God, because they were not talking about that where they were attending. And how are they? They couldn't touch anybody else where I work. They had no testimony. No matter what they said about Jesus, nobody paid any attention, because they knew they were just as blind and bound as they were. Can you say, man? If the church doesn't live more disciplined and more devoted than the world about us, we can never touch that world for Jesus Christ. Amen? You say, well, we got to reach young people. Listen, we used to reach them with the cross. Remember the Holy Church of God? There'd be service. The Holy Ghost would actually show up. There was more than me preaching there. He would show up. How do you know He showed up? Because none of those young people, I'm talking about 11-year-old, 10-year-old, 9-year-olds in the back, were listening to me preach. Believe me, I used to be that age and I didn't listen either. I went to church to look at the girls when I discovered that they were actually pretty and nice to look at. And getting a note from a girl that says, so-and-so likes you, while three of them are giggling. And I'm saying, that's it. Giggle on. Praise God. Amen. I used to put on my little bow tie. Amen. They thought I had been to military school, because I didn't have no pectorals. I would just stand like that in the circle, because I wanted those little girls to look at me. I was 11 going on 12. Asked my dad, has your son been to military school? No, I hadn't. What I wanted to do is impress the girl. And I thought, if I stand like this, I'm going to look taller. Amen. If I stand like this, I'm going to look stronger. Praise God. Amen. And I'm going to get a note saying, so-and-so likes you. But I remember the night at 12 years old, I was standing back there. Amen. My daddy got us a milkshake on the way home. I couldn't wait for that preacher to quit. I prayed for him to quit. Amen. That's the first prayers I ever said was, oh, Lord, let him quit. Amen. We want to get to the Biff Burger. Dad promised me a milkshake after church. Can you say, man, that's what got me to go to church, the girls and the milkshake. Amen. I wasn't listening. I don't know what the service was about, but at the end of the service, it was almost over. I had milkshake on my mind. Praise God. Amen. Already had my love note in my pocket. I was going to read it again when I got home and sip on my milkshake. It's been a great Sunday. Amen. Been a great Sunday at church. Oh, hallelujah. Yes, amen. Hallelujah. Listen, the three women walked forward, and the pastor said, God wants to do something here tonight. I was ready to dismiss, but God is calling somebody. And I thought, well, I wish they'd hurry up and go get saved so we can go get that milkshake. Can you say amen? Three ladies came to the piano to sing, and I thought, oh, Lord, they're going to close the place and before I can get a milkshake. And to show you the power of the Holy Spirit. Can you say amen? I was sitting back there with all this on my mind, and three ladies begin to sing. They begin to sing. It was at the corner of Holland and Astor in Tampa. Brother Hudson was my pastor, and I remember my dad's pastor. They begin to sing, softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling for you and for me. Over life's ramparts, he's waiting and watching, watching for you and for me. Come home, come home, ye who are weary, come home. Softly and tenderly, Jesus, and Jesus called me. Jesus called me. Jesus called me. Nobody took me down forward. Nobody grabbed me and made me say some prayer that I didn't mean. Jesus called me to salvation. I felt conviction come on me. I knew I was lost and I needed a Savior. And I went to the altar. It was me that night that God wanted to save. It was me that night that God wanted to seal with the Holy Spirit. It was me that night that Jesus was going to call to salvation. And it's different when Jesus calls you to salvation and you really get saved. It makes an indelible impression on you, and you can't just walk away from it as if it never happened. I tried it and it didn't work. Hallelujah. But what was missing? I didn't know what I had. For a little while, it was great. My mom and dad got into a bitter divorce, and I got bitter. Because as they fought one another, no one seemed to care about what was happening to me, watching it fall apart. And I got bitter. And I fell away from the Lord. But when I came home to him, 21 years of age, and I came back to God, I knew what I had in Jesus. And I appreciated it. And I've been in too many sick rooms, too many hospitals, too many bedrooms where hospice was and people were dying, to think that anything in this world is more important than knowing Jesus Christ and having your sins forgiven. Amen. I've heard of people repent of things. There's nothing that surprises me. Because they didn't want to go out into eternity with all that sin clinging to them. There's something I've never heard in almost 40 years of ministry. 4 decades, I've never heard anybody say, boy, I'm really sorry that I didn't sin, that I didn't go the way of the world, that I didn't have more. Repented of knowing him. Can you say amen and following him? I want you to have a moment, some smiles here tonight. Joy back, so that we know the joyful sound again. Can you say amen? One of David's prayers of repentance in Psalm 51 was, restore unto me. There it is. Praise God. That's even better than before. Thank you. Hallelujah. Where was I? Before I stepped on my own cord. Tampa Electric. About 40 years I would have had with Tico. But when God saved me, I fell in love with Him. When I really knew what it meant to be saved and what it cost Him to save me and what I had to gain and what I'd been delivered from, I said, Lord, that You would do that for me. I love You. I love You with my whole heart and soul and being. And if I can do anything for You, I don't care what it is. You just let me know what You want done, and I'll do it. Amen. And when I came to the Holy Church of God, I left Tampa Electric. Tampa Electric's not a bad company to stay with and retire with. When I came to the Holy Church of God, there was about 12 people there, and 8 of them wished I wasn't there. We had $800 in the treasury, and we were a couple of $1,000s in debt. And God began to move. And I remember nights when I would be discouraged, and Wednesday night would come along, they would fill the parking lot. People driving around hunting for a place to park and couldn't find it. Amen. And I'd go in and people ready to worship God, and something that used to get a hold of me. End of a service, the Holy Spirit would go back like He went back and got a hold of me. And I would see young people, 9, 10, 11 years old, coming forward, kneeling in the altar, weeping before the Lord. Can you say amen? And I said, oh God, You're in this. I'm so glad to be part of something You are in. And you are proving it through the anointing. Praise God. Not my great preaching, praise the Lord, but through the anointing of God that attended those meetings. Praise the Lord. Some people that are here now got saved because of what God was doing in those meetings. Praise God. I saw on Facebook Margaret Janung. Amen. I saw her on there. Somebody had mentioned the old movie, The Music Box. And remember that movie? We showed it on that big reel-to-reel projector, about a 20-minute music about the joy of being saved. Amen. And that song by the Nightingales. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, when I see it, I still get shivers sometimes. It's outdated a lot now with all the technology. But when we showed it, there was an anointing that come after the service. And Margaret said, I remember seeing that movie on Facebook. Somebody mentioned it back at the Holy Church of God. Amen. Where everybody was dancing after that service and praising God. Everybody say dancing and praising God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You say, listen, you could rent that movie today, and I doubt that you would be stimulated to dance and praise God watching that little movie that encourages praise unto God for salvation. But you know what it was? In that service, that night, the anointing of God fell on those people, because we came there to do one thing: exalt the true and the living God. If I wanted to have a comfortable lifestyle, I wouldn't have come to that church in that community and left that career. I had no ulterior motive for being there except I loved Jesus. And I wanted to see people love Him like I loved Him. And I wanted to see people saved and to come to know Him. If it wasn't for a passion for Christ, we'd have been out of business in 6 months. There ain't much of us left, but we're going on 37 years. And I'm not bragging on me. I want to tell you about His grace. If you make a commitment, He'll strengthen you. I haven't called in unless I had to work, which was very seldom because I told Him I wasn't going to do it. Or I was on vacation, scheduled vacation. When the door's open for the last 37 years, there's somebody that's going to be here. I'm coming. Because that's how I committed to God when I got saved. My pastor knew when the door opens, Robert's going to be there. He might be there honking, blowing in a handkerchief. He'll squirt that afrin up his nose and come on to church. Halfway through the service, that old afrin will give out, and I'll be using that handkerchief all night. But He's going to be there. Why is He going to be there? Because Jesus is worth serving with everything you are and everything you have. Can you say amen? When we made it convenient to serve God, there's no suffering, there's no sacrifice. Guess what happened? There's no devotion. And you better keep them entertained. And you better promise them wealth. You better promise them things that will stimulate them. Because that old rugged cross is not what they're coming for. If a man love me, he'll keep, you're right, my commandments. And listen to this. Because of that devotion, they won't be grievous to him. He won't serve God with a long face. He'll serve God with gladness, like God wants it to be. Serve the Lord with gladness, all ye lands. Hallelujah. We're ready to close. Let me ask you this. What is your passion? What gets your attention? What do you make time for? What do you find energy to do? God shouldn't get equal to that, whatever it is. How many will agree God shouldn't get equal to that? He should get more than that. Whatever that is, what has caused you to wake up early, to get started on it, to get out and give your all to it? God shouldn't get equal to that. He certainly shouldn't get less than that. He should get more than that. And if he gets more than that, we're going to see a church that begins to know the joyful sound. Hallelujah. Because there will be a devotion to him that will bring the disciplines that will cause us to walk in victory. Can you say amen? Will you stand to your feet tonight? Have you enjoyed this whipping? I'm kidding. It's not a whipping. Can you say amen? Just the flesh. Are you glad you came tonight? You think it was worth having? Do you think if others that don't even see or desire to be here, no time, no energy for it, do you think they might change their mind about it if they saw how excited we were Sunday morning? Amen? How passionate we are about serving Jesus Christ. God can't make you love him. I cannot make you love him. But I can preach a Christ that is worth loving with everything that you have and everything that you are. And that's the Jesus that I preach tonight. And if you don't fall in love with him, all the rest of the message on taking up your cross and following him, they're all in vain. The only right reason to follow him is because you love him. And we ought to love him with everything we are, not with our leftovers. It will cause us to do our best and give our best for Christ. And when we do that, it will cause him to respond by blessing us abundantly and exceedingly. Honor the Lord with the first fruits of all, of everything in your life. Can you say amen? So shall, and what does he do in response? So shall thy barns be filled with fatness. Amen. He blesses. He blesses. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, my God. Hallelujah. Give me the oil of your spirit. I just feel that's in order tonight. Thank you, Lord. Church of Ephesus had lost their passion for Jesus. Their doctrine was pure. They tested false teachers, found them to be liars. Christ commended them for all the pure doctrine and for wanting the truth. He commended them also for the persecutions they were under, because they didn't deny his name. He said, I commend you for that. He said, I've got one thing against you that is so reprehensible to God that if you don't correct it, I'll come to you quickly. And I'm going to remove. This is what Jesus said. This is no threat from me. This is not even a threat from him. This is a fact. I will remove your candlestick unless you repent and do your first works. If you don't get the first love burning in your heart, I'm going to take your lampstand. That means the supernatural is going to be gone. That convicted those kids in the back, it's going to be gone. They're not going to get convicted. They're not going to care. They could care less. We better entertain them because nothing is going to touch them about God, heaven, hell, or eternity. People that you work with, you can give them scripture all day long, but without the Holy Ghost moving upon them, you lose your lampstand, the supernatural light is gone that illuminates the gospel to their heart and their life. Amen? And all of those tracts and all of those bumper stickers and all those lapel pins don't mean nothing without the Holy Ghost being able to move. Amen? He said, if you don't get back to your first love, you get that passion for Jesus, I'm going to come to you quickly. Quickly. Not going to be patient with this or tolerant with this. The God that gave his son for you deserves your best, not your leftovers. The son who gave his life for you deserves recognition, not just to be used to get us out of trouble when the crisis comes. Amen? And because the whole church world out there has lowered the standard to build our symbols of success, people are not convicted about not loving God. But what's missing in that big program and presentation is the supernatural power of Almighty God. You can sit there with that crowd and backslide. You sit there on Sunday and watch the presentation while backsliding in your heart. Walk out that door into life, and unless there's a crisis, never have the devotion or the disciplines. This is the day of the falling away. This is the time that the love of many is waxing cold. For this is the last day, and this is the end time, saith the Spirit of God. You have been forewarned in my word. Look unto me, cleave to me, seek me with your whole heart, and I will keep you from the hour of temptation that's coming to try all the inhabitants of the earth. I will secure you. I will hide you in my pavilion, saith God. Somebody give him praise tonight. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I will not preach a Jesus that isn't worth your devotion. I don't know that Jesus because it's not the Christ of this Bible. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. As we go on in the weeks to come, I pray that a fire will begin to burn within, right in our own home. We're making some decisions right now to get any hindrance out of the way. Amen. Between us and staying focused on him. Praise God. Hallelujah. Listen, I want his presence. I want that fire. I want that wheel within the wheel. I want that God who hears and answers prayer. I want that God that draws near to me, not just in the time of trouble, but even when everything's okay. I need him in my life. Can you say, man? I want to know around my home and my car and everything to do with me the joyful sound. Hallelujah. The celebration of God's victories. And his covenant-keeping love. Hallelujah. Isn't he good tonight? Give me the oil of your spirit. Brother, let it play. Just for a few moments, let's worship him in here.